Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. On today's show, the Chiefs find their roots. We hear from Andy and Mahomes at 11:45. And we've got a new number one on the hottest NFL coaches list. Special guests include Nick Ferguson at 11 and Josh Klingler at 1. Now, two guys who will spend the month of December standing underneath the nearest piece of mistletoe, Alex Gold and Jay Binkley.
Rome, you or Nick?
It's not going to happen. Just not going to be there, Nick. Thank you for the shout out. Thank you for the intro. Bink, in for the next 4 hours, the man that never sleeps. You've got your energy drink. I see why you have to drink them consistently now. It's good to be in studio with you, my man. Cody back tomorrow. Nick Schwartz producing, as always, right here on Cody and Gold. And as you heard from Nick, we are going to go out to Arrowhead at 11:45 to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And also excited to get a perspective from the Denver Broncos here in about 1 hour. 11 o'clock, Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safety. He now hosts at a radio station there in Denver. What's their feeling about the Denver Broncos? Because here in Kansas City, it still is very difficult for me to take them all that seriously, despite how impressive their win was against the Chargers. And it comes back to the quarterback position. So we'll talk to Nick Ferguson about that coming up at 11 o'clock. But I look at the Chiefs and I look at the Patriots as the two teams that everybody's kind of talking about right now in the AFC. And you think about my struggle when I acknowledge the Patriots' six-game winning streak is that it's a rookie quarterback. Like yesterday, I was on with CDOT real quick in the afternoon, and we did hot and cold. And they're like, do I think the Patriots are the hot team, cold team? They're certainly the hot team. I'm still cold on the Patriots, though, because come playoff time, rookie quarterback. But the one thing the Patriots do, despite not having this great group of skill players or a great quarterback, we'll find out how his career ultimately turns out. Mac Jones, who now today has trademarked the term MJ10 instead of Mac10, which is a mistake on his part. But anyway, he's a rookie quarterback. They follow fundamentals. They don't make mistakes. That's kind of the hallmark of a Bill Belichick coach team. They do that, right? That's what's allowed them to go on this run. Now, eventually, I still think it reminds me a little bit of college basketball to a certain extent, especially come tournament time. The team that's really fundamentally sound, that is smart, like I view like an Ivy League school, right? Let's say it's a year that Harvard has a very good team. And they may win the first two games heading into the Sweet 16, but then eventually talent wins out. Like, that's my struggle with the Patriots. Now look at Kansas City. Look how they are now coming off a bye week, and whether or not they're going to continue with what they were kind of doing before the bye week, which seemed to be, all right, let's get some things worked out. Let's work on some of the things defensively, offensively, and specifically with our quarterback on the fundamentals, footwork, trusting what's there. Now are we about to see the Chiefs just blow up here on a post-bye week the rest of the season? Or is it going to be like 2019? Because we made a lot of comparisons to 2019, and despite the Chiefs as a team being getting hot, they weren't scoring 30-plus points a game down the stretch of that 2019 season. And right now they're scoring, what, 25 points or so per game?
25.5 points a game at this point. All right, I'm different to you. I heard your segment with Carrington. I'm on the Patriots bandwagon only because you have to look at who's commanding them, Bill Belichick. I mean, right now, if I'm the AFC, I'm fearing the two best coaches in the NFL, which are Andy Reid and Bill Belichick, right? It's Belichick and Andy Reid as far as best coaches in the NFL. Both these teams haven't lost in November. Both these teams getting their stride. And it's not just about the wins or taking the close loss or whatever. Is your team improving? The Patriots offense has drastically improved since the beginning. Again, this is a team that won 7 games last year somehow. Despite the quarterback troubles they had more opt-outs than any team in the NFL. And not only that, you have a pissed off Belichick. Because you talk about somebody who was mad. I know they him
with Brady winning the Super Bowl.
Brady won the Super Bowl because it kind of ended that Barstool debate that you and I have talked about before. People, is it Brady or Belichick, the chicken or the egg? Well, Brady wins one without Belichick. What do you think that did? These guys have egos. What do you think that did to Belichick's ego? He goes out and spends $137.5 million, brings in Judon, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. I mean, went crazy in free agency, right? But he didn't have that quarterback. He did his homework, and Mac Jones was the guy that identified him and Nick Saban are, you know, friends. Hey, I think this guy can help you out. So they were all aboard on Mac Jones. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Tom Brady early on, starting to get the feels of that offense. They were winning by their defense. He was game managing, not making mistakes. I think the Patriots are in it to win it because, again, I'm shocked they even got to 7 wins last year. And there's one guy that was personally motivated by this whole season, and his name is Bill Belichick. He's not still doing this for fun. He's got his rings. He's doing this for ego now. He's doing this for legacy. He's a big historian of the game of football. And, yeah, they're back. And, you know, the AFC should fear that the 2 best coaches in the entire league, almost 2 of the best coaches in the history of the league, Belichick and Andy Reid are in the top 5 all-time. Yeah. Andy Reid's now in the top. They are both currently still coaching in the top 5 all-time wins regular season or postseason. That should strike fear to people. Chiefs have the upper hand because they have Mahomes. That's better than Mac Jones, right? I'd put that over Belichick. Belichick's a smart guy, smart X's and O's guy, but that's why I trust him. He's got this team playing like he wants to do, but he's also got this huge chip on his shoulder to get back to the SB. And I guarantee you, he would like nothing other to face Bruce Arians and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl in Los Angeles. Matter of fact, that's a sexy pick that a lot of people want. We all want the Chiefs here, of course. Chiefs-Packers, who I think it's going to be, but that's what people want. They want to see Patriots. Belichick, Brady. They want to see that, ratings, Los Angeles, Super Bowl. That's what they want, but Patriots are getting better. And they're getting so much better defensively. The offense is moving the ball around. Mac Jones having multiple touchdowns now in 4 games. I mean, he's doing things you're not expecting a rookie to do that Tom Brady only did 3 times in his career. So I'm seeing what he's doing, just like the Chiefs defense getting better. And having these 2 coaches on this kind of stretch, that should strike fear in the AFC.
Well, back to the Chiefs a little bit, Bink. I mean, looking at where they're at post bye week here, like I don't get a sense that the rest of the season they're going to be an offense that's averaging, you know, 30 plus points a game again. I think it's going to be, again, similar to 2019, where now that they have the defense playing at the level that they're playing, which is an elite level currently, that this will be an offense. That doesn't mean they won't score 30 plus in a game, but if you look at 2019, they were averaging around 25, 26 points per game down the stretch of the 2019 season when they got on the hot streak, and we know the rest is history. They won out.
The defense turned the light on a week 9.
I expect
it was a week 9 to Mexico City.
Yeah, I expect that to continue. Like I know, Nick, we were talking a little bit. I think it sounds as though you think that they kind of took a step back, worked on some things, the Chiefs offense, and now maybe they're about to break out.
Well, don't you think versus the Packers and the Giants when the offense looked not just basic, but ineffective and inefficient, we go, okay, well, this is the, that was when Cody joked, like, this is the worst version. If this is what it's going to be like, then let's just go back to the offense that's pushing the ball downfield and turning the ball over a lot. Well, since then, it feels like they've sort of broken out of it a bit versus, I get it, the Raiders are reeling. And then you played the Cowboys when they had a bunch of guys injured. But still, it felt like that Cowboys game was a few missed shots. I mean, a missed extra point, a missed field goal. Yeah,
4 points.
And a few missed deep shots to open receivers from that being a 35-point offensive performance.
And the one that bounced off Kelce when they were driving.
It just kind of feels like maybe they pulled the reins back a little bit, addressing some things that maybe they haven't worked on for a year or two because they'd been so successful, and now they're kind of getting back to it.
But you go back to that 2019, week 9, Chiefs scored 26 points, week 10, 32. Then it was 24, 40, 23, 23, 26, 31. Very reminiscent to this team, having that 41-point explosion against the Raiders, then back down. But offensively, some of the production, they averaged 25.7 points a game the last 4 weeks, the last month, in that 2019 Super Bowl season. Again, winning games like 23-3, 26-3. It's when the defense was turning it on. We've seen that switch. It started probably about week 8 for the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe week 7. But really in earnest, week nine is when they really, you know, took off this year. But very reminiscent to that season.
It is, but it comes, you know.
And they started to get more running game at that point, too.
It comes down to if you believe this defense will keep playing at this level. For this scenario to play out, the defense has to play out. The reason why, whether you think they would kind of took a step back or not offensively to reset some things, or was it just what Mahomes' comments were a few weeks ago about finally looking at the defense and frankly having more trust in this defense that he didn't have to go out and make the crazy play, that it was all right to punt the football because guess what? Your defense will actually get you the football back. That's not something that you had faith in him and this defense being able to do in the past. Now you do. I think that's what the switch has been. And so it's been a little bit more of a conservative approach.
Because 2018 with Mahomes MVP season.
Oh, well, they had to go out and score.
It was how we played at Texas Tech. You get to score a touchdown every time you're on the field because the defense, all of a sudden, they were giving up so many points. Mahomes had to score at will. That Chiefs team in 2018 was just putting up points. They had to. I mean, they lost scoring 50 points, man. They lost the game scoring that many points. That's what the Chiefs were in 2018. But things are a little bit different. They got a little more tighter down the stretch in 2019 before. Of course, they struggled in the playoffs when it first started. You know, finding 24 down 10 points to the Titans and down 10 in the Super Bowl. They found themselves coming back in those games.
I'm looking at last year as we continue the, you know, comparisons to a year or two ago. Specifically last year, we know what happened with the Bucs. They lose to Kansas City, then they win out, much like Kansas City did in 2019. So we just got done with week 12 of this NFL season. We're heading into week 13. A team that lost this past week in week 12 and then could rattle off wins on the way to the Super Bowl. Who's that team this year? If you had to pick one, even if you don't, if you had to pick one, because here's a couple of the candidates of teams that.
Who's the Bucs of last year?
That's it. There's one answer that stands out to me, and it's easy. Cowboys. Maybe you think it's the Rams, but the Cowboys. The Cowboys just lost to the Raiders on Thanksgiving in week 12. I could see them rattling off a bunch of wins through the NFC East and going on a run. If you're picking a team to do that type of run, to me, they're the answer, because what has stopped them recently? It's been COVID. Right now, their head coach has COVID. Amari Cooper had it. CeeDee Lamb was dealing with a concussion. They haven't had their whole arsenal and playing bad. That would be concerning. What's held them back
although
right now,
Bank? Although they did when they got bombed to the Broncos just a couple weeks ago. They had a Cooper. They
bounced
McCarthy
back,
was healthy.
They bounced back the next week and blew out the Atlanta Falcons two weeks later.
They've lost back-to-back games to the AFC West. They lost the Broncos. They've lost their 1-3 against the AFC West. They barely beat the Chargers.
Sure, but again, the Bucs last year were a team that was not rattling off a bunch of wins, and then they lost to Kansas City, and then they went and won out. I'm just asking, like, who could you see? Not that you're saying that it's going to be them, that there will be a team that overall will do it. To me,
I would take
Cowboys,
the Niners right now with the Cowboys.
You think it's more likely the Niners went out than the Cowboys went out? That's what you're saying?
I'm just not believing in the Cowboys. They keep letting me down. Hell, they've got everybody out here in Survivor League the last couple of weeks.
No kidding.
Because they've let everybody down, but they just keep letting you down, and they're not getting better. The defense is playing so well early on. Now, get it, Amari Cooper does not play defense, but the defense is really starting to slip the last couple of weeks. And that Raiders game, it was 28 penalties in that game with the Raiders on Thanksgiving. That was a sloppy, sloppy football game.
I mean, look,
that they lost.
The Cowboys have the Saints this week, as we know, tomorrow, actually, on Thursday Night Football. Then Washington, then the Giants, then Washington again, then the Cardinals, then the Eagles, the Eagles team that seemed to be playing better, but they just lost to the Giants. Like, if you're just picking a team that's a candidate for it, to me, they're the strongest. The only other one that I consider was the Rams. But the Rams' issue is, without Robert Woods, which he's done for the season, that team looks different. Matthew Stafford looks way different. Suddenly that offense has some problems. Matthew Stafford looks a little bit like Detroit Lions Matthew Stafford at times out there after a guy was having an MVP-type season. So that's my struggle with them. So if you're asking me who lost this past week that could go on a run, my answer is the Cowboys, considering their schedule and still the type of talent they have on the roster.
I'm saying the Niners, the way they play football. Remember, this is a team that beat the Rams 31-10. Then they beat the Jags, which everybody does. And then they beat the Vikings. So they have three straight wins going for them. I think they're trending as a better football team right now. Dallas is going backwards. The Niners are going forwards. That's one reason I say that.
Yeah.
Dallas just continues to let me down. I'm not a Cowboys fan at all. I'm just saying I really, really believed in this team, that we're seeing a different team with Dan Quinn on defense. Early this year, I bought into the Cowboys. And trust me on Survivor League, I bought into them big time, and they continue to let everybody down.
Because the Niners have the Seahawks, which they're a mess.
Did you lose on Dallas, too?
I did, thank you.
I mean, I did, too.
Everybody got a strike on Dallas this past week, I think.
I lost the Broncos game. At home, Dak Prescott back. Was there a 14-point favorite in that game and get bombed?
Niners have Seattle, then Cincinnati, Falcons, Titans, Texans, then the Rams.
I'm just saying, and they beat the Rams 31-10 already. So I'm just saying, they're playing better football.
No, they certainly are.
If played the Niners this week, I would be hard-pressed not to look at the Niners in that game.
It's just, if you look at the Bucs 2020, when they lost to Kansas City, that put them
7-5.
7-5. And what are the Niners right now? Like six, aren't they?
They're 6-5.
So they're you know, there's an extra week this year.
But, remember the Buccaneers that year? They lost the first half to the Chiefs when Tyreek Hill and everybody went off the first half. Buccaneers won that second half. It took them a while for COVID to get acclimated.
Also, the 49ers, Bank, aren't even an option for this. You had to have lost. The scenario and hypothetical is you would have lost in week 12. The Niners just won in week 12, but I get the point.
All right.
The hypothetical,
I'm just saying, trending better.
You had to be a team that lost in week 12. So, like, the Colts would be another option.
It's that they've blown three games, and it's just so hard because they keep blowing games at the end in crucial times. Carson Wentz looks so good in the first half. They don't throw these mind-blowing interceptions in football games. They blew a 19.5-second-point lead to the Ravens. They blew three leads against the Titans, and they blew last week's game as well. Like, I can't buy into that team anymore because they just find ways to lose.
Yeah, my struggle with the Colts is just Carson Wentz. And I know he's played better. Nick and I were joking about it a little bit. Like, I just don't trust that all of a sudden he's not going to spin around as he's getting tackled and throw the ball straight up in the air.
He shows glimpses, and then it's like, what the hell,
but
man?
But that's the beauty of what the Colts do. Yeah, right.
It's like, what the hell, man?
It's that when you know every defense is going to play up towards the line of scrimmage because they are deathly afraid of Jonathan Taylor ripping off a huge run, it makes life really easy. So even if you don't believe in Carson Wentz, I feel like that running game is so effective that Wentz is going to be allowed to have a little bit more freedom than a lot of other quarterbacks.
So is that the team you would pick? Again, scenario like 2020 Bucks.
Yes.
Loss in week 12 and then rattle off consecutive wins to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I don't even think they're going to necessarily look like the most impressive team in the NFL doing it. But I just feel like week in, week out, I know that the Colts are going to have steady performances because they play to their strengths better than maybe any other team in the AFC right now.
They're well coached. I think we all like their head coach and what he brings to the table compared to some of these other teams that we're talking about. Like, I'll admit that with the Cowboys, my biggest concern with them is still Mike McCarthy as their head coach in this whole scenario versus
Frank
Reich.
Ravens' luck finally running out. They've had more football guys shining on than any other team.
Think about how many teams are still searching for an identity right now.
You know what? I think Monday night when the Bills and Patriots, because the Bills had lost 32-35 when Tom Brady was there. They beat the Patriots last year. That's Monday night's football game. And if the Bills win that game, can they go on a roll? Or if the Patriots win, can they keep stomping people because they're going to Buffalo? I think that game in itself shows a lot about the AFC when the Bills play the Patriots the night after the Chiefs play the Broncos. I think that's the game in the AFC to really get a barometer on who's going to play better down the stretch. If New England goes there and waxes the Bills,
game on Monday.
Then you got to say, okay, well, what the hell are the Bills? But if the Bills win, it's kind of like, okay, are the Bills capable? Because we know how good the team could be, although they've regressed in certain areas like pass rush and everything else. But I think that Monday night football game will tell you a lot about the AFC.
So the reason why the Colts is an intriguing option is, to Nick's point about their rushing attack and what that does for Carson Wentz in the passing game, is, look, we saw what happened against the Bucs. The Bucs had Vita Vea back.
If they used Jonathan Taylor.
That stout, you know, that, well,
they went away from him for so long.
So I disagree with the whole conversation around that coming out of their loss. Like, Frank Reich took some heat from Colts fans that they weren't running the ball enough. They were going up against the Bucs rush defense. You know this, Bink, is the best rush defense in football. They give up like 75 yards per game on the ground. Vita Vea was back in the game. When he's available, it's a problem. The good thing
for the best offensive line in football and the best running back in football.
Sure, but the good thing with the Colts is, what stout rushing attack or rushing defense, I should say, are they going to see on their way to a Super Bowl now? Like, in the AFC, who's the best rushing defense?
We don't even talk about rushing run defenses anymore, because every single defense is designed to rush the passer.
I know,
and have good. So that's
but the kinda, yeah. I mean, that's in the AFC. The answer there really isn't that. Whereas the Bucs were a problem for them. Now they don't have to see the Bucs again until maybe a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, and I don't even know if the Bucs did that on purpose or if they just go, well, Vita Vea, kind of a one-man run stopper, so that helps. We don't have to design an entire defense around it. We just need one guy who can effectively
the Colts,
be that
dude. If Vita's not playing in that game last Sunday, the Colts win that game.
Yeah.
Because they would have run the ball more. Like, to me, that's why they didn't run the ball more. I disagree with the criticism.
Well, to answer your question, the Ravens are the best run defense in the AFC.
There you go.
The Bengals are fifth, believe it or not.
That's an evergreen statement, by the way. Oh, the Ravens are good at stopping the run again for the 25th consecutive season.
They cannot stop the pass, though.
It's been that way for a decade or so. Bink, tomorrow we're really excited, though. So Cody will be back, but we've got a fun announcement coming up tomorrow. Just want to just put that out there. Tomorrow we'll be back here. We'll have the full crew together. We got a really fun announcement we're excited about for the holiday season here, part of Cody and Gold. So you want to be tuned in as always, but certainly tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll have an announcement, something we're excited about that we'll be doing.
What more
can
you guys do? You guys are doing videos. You guys are doing everything. Well, what are you saying? You get something else?
We can't be stopped.
Yeah, it's something else that we got for the holiday
kind of
season.
Turning that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to your point about the Creed Rookie of the Year campaign, hashtag Creed is good. Do you see Kyle Brandt? Kyle Brandt got his Creed is good t-shirt today. He put that on his Instagram account.
Good advertising.
The movement is strong. Yesterday we played the teaser video.
Because you know he's going to rock that t-shirt. He loves t-shirts.
I think
you know he's going to wear it on.
He looked like on the tag it said a large. For Kyle Brandt. We've joked with Kyle on the show a little bit.
Yeah, but he's kind of like an Oculi, you know,
that's
doing
what I'm
the workout,
that's
the smaller
exactly
shirts.
Right.
Yeah. He'll rock it.
It's a schmedium. You know, we reached out. We got the specs. And we were told
Creed.
We
custom
were told,
shirt
we
for
were
him.
Told a large was requested.
Have you sent the shirt to Creed? Because Creed, can you imagine him wearing it at a press conference?
What size does Creed, honestly.
Oh, you'd have to get double 3X, X at least 3X? For Creed.
How big does your head 3. Have to be to wear a shirt that says basically I am good?
How about the rest of the offensive line wearing it?
Yeah, that would be funny if
we could get like Trey Smith wearing it.
Yeah. He might not
or
wear it
to wear it one day.
Yeah, they would.
Or actually his running back. That's true. It's
think
either the quarterback or the
Kyle
running back.
Kyle Brandt is what I'm telling you guys. Think bigger than Kyle Brandt.
Mahomes or get Clyde or Darrell Williams to wear the Creed is good shirt.
I'm just saying, man.
You should be our marketing director.
Think bigger. Kyle Brandt's pretty big. Don't get me wrong, but think bigger.
A national TV show.
Yeah, think bigger. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty big.
It's right.
But Mahomes bigger, you know?
We're trying to spread the word outside of Kansas City. We know everybody in Kansas City already mm-hmm. knows that Creed is good. We're trying to
have
make
Belichick
this
wear it.
A national campaign. There we go.
Have Tom Brady wear it. I'm kidding.
Get the Denver Broncos involved in this. We'll get Nick Ferguson.
Yeah,
we'll ask Nick Ferguson.
Yeah, he'd love it.
I'm sure he'll jump on board with this. But no, hashtag Creed is good. We'll have some more details on that over the next couple weeks as well. But tomorrow, an announcement completely unrelated to the Creed is good movement tomorrow on the show that we're excited about. We'll get into some college football here in about 7 minutes. Bink, I know you're very excited to get to that after the college football playoff rankings came out. And now that, of course, the salaries have been reported for Lincoln Riley, for Brian Kelly, now it makes you wonder if you're Bill Belichick, you're Andy Reid, if you're an NFL head coach, you're seeing the money these guys get at the college level. You're like, wait a second. I mean, Mike Tomlin, we know his comment from a couple weeks ago about what it would take and how he's not interested in ever leaving an NFL
job.
Which
I do believe USC sent feelers to his representatives. I think USC did their homework with a lot of people.
According to Mike Florio, with the salaries that are being handed out in college football right now, that within the next 2 years, the top NFL coaches, so your Belichick's, your Tomlin's, your Sean Payton's, Andy Reid's, will indeed be making $25 million per year. I'm like, before you said, oh, that's crazy. Now look what the college coaches are getting. So no, I believe within 2 years there's a chance that it gets to that point.
Yeah, Saban's still got to be 9.9, but they're creeping up to that. He's going to get something more now too. But you're looking at base salaries like Kelly, $400,000, but then $8.6 million coming from outside sources.
Yeah, because like in the NFL, three coaches make more than $15 million a year right now. That's Belichick, and nobody knows for sure his dollar amount. Florio believes, according to his sources, it's north of $20 million already. Well, if Belichick's making $19, $20, $21 million already, then yeah, 2 years from now, $25 million.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Not crazy. If college coaches are going to start making over consistently the top ones over $10 million a year, then of course the NFL coaches, if you think about the money that's involved in the NFL, there's plenty of money in college athletics. It's professional sports as far as I'm concerned as well.
Yeah, plenty of money with the boosters around college athletics. At least state schools, they got to still stay like $400,000, $500,000, but then the escalators were getting $500,000 just to make a bowl game like Brian Kelly.
And just think about Jared Goff was the example that Pro Football Talk used, but like Jared Goff, $33.5 million a year. That's what he was making with that Rams contract. Or you could pay the best coach in football $25 million. I'm taking this in that. If Goff is that other quarterback, I'm of course taking the coach.
Yeah.
Value wise, with what you're getting.
Yeah, an elite quarterback, you'd go quarterback.
But
that coach,
sure. But not with that quarterback's Jared Goff, and this who's clearly not in that category.
I believe in the college coaches. It's 100%. I will get into it later. The college football playoffs, I think, do take in consideration Notre Dame doesn't have the guy.
I know.
It's got 50 hours of jet time a year for personal reasons and $500,000 just for making bowl games. That's how important he is.
Coming up next, Bink wants chaos, and Brian Kelly could not have screwed over his team more.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp today. Cody's back with us tomorrow. Alex Gold, Nick Schwert with you in 30 minutes. We head out to Denver. Chiefs, Broncos on Sunday. We'll get their perspective from a former Denver Broncos safety, current radio host Nick Ferguson. Looking forward to Nick joining us. We're also thinking of Nick's notable notes, our Nick's notes, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But last night, college football playoff rankings coming out on the heels of the college football coaching carousel. We were wondering where the committee would put a Notre Dame, would put a Michigan, would they move up to 2? Well, that's exactly what happened. Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Cincinnati. I just totally pulled up the wrong graphic. I apologize. Michigan 2, Cincinnati 4 in the college football playoff rankings. Alabama number 3, Oklahoma State 5, Notre Dame 6. I had the AP poll pulled up, which was screwing me over there. So the playoff rankings are at your team chaos at this point in time. Before we even get to what your scenario is for this weekend that you want to see, last night proved that Brian Kelly flat out screwed over Notre Dame. And not in the way that, oh, he left before bowl season or college football playoff, but hearing what the committee is going to weigh against Notre Dame, coach availability, is why today it's even worse if you're a Notre Dame player that your coach left for you. So Notre Dame is 6. We know they're done, right? Their regular season's over. They're independent. They don't have a conference championship game. We know that. And so they're sitting around. They're hoping for chaos in front of them. But even with that, Bink, they're done. They're not going to make the college football playoff. And here's why. Listen to Gary Barta, who's the head of the college football playoff selection committee, when he was asked about Notre Dame not having Brian Kelly as their head coach anymore.
Well, you make a good point, Reese, that the committee obviously was aware of all the coaching changes while we were going through the rankings. This week, it didn't apply because the games had occurred, and we evaluated based on those games. Once the championship games wrap up, to your point, our protocol does include the ability for the committee to consider a player or a coach not being available, and should that have an effect on the outcome of a game, that can be considered. At this point, we'll have to wait and see how that factors in, but it is one of the criteria that's now added to strength of schedule, to head-on-head competition and winning championships, et cetera.
I mean, there's your answer, Bank. Notre Dame has no chance. I don't care if chaos happens or not.
That's what I was saying yesterday. Like, that's part of the deal now. I mean, when I was talking to Cena, I was like, you have to take into consideration. That's just like Gary Bohannon, the quarterback for Baylor, goes down. They're in the Big 12 title game. He may or may not play. It's still uncertain if he's going to play in the Big 12 title game. But they took that into consideration when they moved Baylor down a slot. Like, Baylor got moved down a slot this week, despite being in the Big 12 championship game. They were asked why. Backup quarterback. Well, a team without a coach, this is why other teams still become more attractive to another Dame team without a coach. That's if I'm Swarbrick, the athletic director, if I'm alumni, if I'm the players, anybody associated with Notre Dame. What he did to Notre Dame is worse than Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. I get it, their commits are leaving and stuff like that. Yeah. It's been a bad deal for Oklahoma. But you're talking about losing out at a chance at the playoffs. And I know Notre Dame has gotten to the playoffs, and they've got smoke, but still getting to be one of the top four teams, especially all the hard work that these players did to get to this point, that's a bad situation.
Absolutely it is. And that's why it looks worse today than it did the day ago. To me, Notre Dame, to me, they're done. So it doesn't matter. It's stupid, though, that it does matter. I get player availability, but how ridiculous is it that that is a criteria, coaching availability? How ridiculous is that?
I think it's important because I think
there's always something that's made up, though, man.
I like what the committee's doing because it's doing something different than the computer and the BCS. They're taking a look at coach, quarterback, who's hurt, who have they played, when do they play them.
Truly who they want in. That's all it is, Bank. It's all a bunch of crap. It's whoever they really want to pick the four.
Well, but Gary Barta even went into the details because Ole Miss jumped Baylor, and he said, why did Ole Miss do this? Well, they played a rivalry game. And even mentioned the cowbells of Mississippi State. He goes, they go into a rivalry game, the Egg Bowl. They're all doing the cowbells. It was a tough environment, rivalry game, and they win the game. Like, they took even the cowbells into part of their deal. And again, they had Michigan State ahead of, or Michigan ahead of Michigan State. Even early on in the season when they beat them head-to-head, they did that because they looked at the Big Ten, saying, now we screwed up Hutchinson's touchdown. Should have been a defensive touchdown. Michigan should have won the game. They're looking at all the circuits. By the way, Will Shields on that committee as well, the former chief on that playoff committee. But they look at everything. I think they're actually doing a decent job. But you have to take into consideration not having a coach. Because he's so important. He got all this stuff and a $10 million from LSU because he's an important guy. That shows you how important Brian Kelly is. He's led the news cycle. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have him with the team. He's a good X's and O's guy.
I just feel like there's always the committee, smartly, for their sake, I guess, every time they release these rankings and people react to it, and Gary Barta goes up there and tells us their thought process and really doesn't say a whole lot typically, is they will find any loophole that they can use to back up why they did something.
Yeah, right? They want ratings, they want money, they want everything else. Want a team without a coach.
I roll my eyes at a lot of this, though, because deep down, like, if they want to put, let's just use Alabama in, they're going to find some way to make the case for Alabama. They're going to find, however they want to fit their narrative, Bank, they will throw out the reason for it. You're right. They typically have a reason for it, but it seems like there's stuff that they do also make up to fit it. It doesn't always balance out across the board. Notre Dame is going to get completely screwed in this scenario, even if it comes into play. There's a chance if all goes, the way it's the gambling lines would tell you this weekend would go, with no upsets is what I'm saying, then Notre Dame wouldn't have had a chance anyway. But you want chaos this weekend. You want Baylor to beat Oklahoma State, Bama to beat Georgia. You want everything to happen. You want Cincinnati to lose to Cincy.
I want chaos because I'm curious about Luke Fickell, because he might be like, all right, just hold on. Let me play my game first. We'll talk about this Sunday night. We'll talk about this Sunday afternoon when the committee selects. Is we in the playoffs or not? Because then at some point, if you're Luke Fickell, you're like, what do I need to do to get in the damn playoffs? Because this is going to be the year that I got there. I know we're going to the Big 12, but does he start looking around? Does he like tell teams like Notre Dame, just wait a week, let this thing play out? Because I think Notre Dame would take their time, seeing as the situation they're in, not wanting to be hypocritical, grabbing another coach that could be in the playoffs. to go to their school. I think they're going to take their time with this and sort it out. Let at least the playoffs sort themselves out. But yeah, I'm rooting for chaos. I've always wanted this thing expanded. I was a fan of when the reason we have the playoffs is because Alabama met LSU for the national title. And people are like, wait a minute, they didn't win their conference championship game. Yet here's Alabama. And then the powers that be got together. Now we have the playoffs. It was geared towards that expansion of 12 teams. They kind of tabled that for the time being. But I'm 100% pro expand the college football playoffs. I just think we're looking at too much fun that could be had by that.
Bama loses to Georgia on Saturday.
Agreed, but by they're how done. Much? That's going to matter.
Does it, see, I don't know if Bama loses, they're done. Like,
I disagree because the three-point Alabama loss, because they're playing in the title game against the number one team in the country. I get it. Notre Dame's not doing anything. Would you take a two-loss
Alabama?
It's not
Notre Dame, though. It's Oklahoma State to me. But it's not Notre Dame.
Who would you take? Alabama? Okay, Oklahoma State will be in there if Alabama loses, I believe.
No, I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. If Alabama loses,
if they lose bad.
And Oklahoma State beats Baylor, then Oklahoma State's in and Bama's out.
But if Baylor won, what's the scenario? Would you take a two-loss Alabama over a Notre Dame team with one loss without a head coach? And the fact that Alabama has more top 40 wins than any other team in the country.
Yeah, but since when is top 40 win a metric?
It matters to the playoff committee.
Why? Why is top 40 different than a win against the 45th best team? How many more games of Alabama do we need to see that this is not a top 4 team in the country?
Well, I'm just saying they played a tougher schedule, clearly, than what Cincinnati's
done. Of
course
they did. But like, saying they have a lot of top 40 wins.
What do you want to see in the playoffs? Do you want to see a 17-point dog in the playoffs? You want to see a 14-2 touchdown dog in the playoffs? No, that's not what you want to see. You don't want to see Cincinnati get 30 hung on him in the playoffs. You want to see Alabama in a close game to whoever they're playing. They're thinking about TV ratings, the Q rating. People understand that they really want to watch Cincinnati go out and get bombed in the college football playoffs. Do you want to see these lopsided odds that you might see with the way
right
things
now,
are set up?
So you're good with, you'd rather, in a way, in this, even if a two-loss Bama team, you'd rather see, let's say, two-loss Bama. Yeah, I guess it would be what Michigan in that scenario, Michigan and Bama, then Notre Dame and Bama, and then Notre Dame and Michigan.
I mean, if Bama gets rolled, they're out of it. Then all of a sudden, you're looking at one spot because then Georgia's in.
Which, by the way, that's what's going to happen.
Michigan's
Georgia's
in.
Roll them.
Beat the hell out of Alabama,
and it's probably going to cause a lot less stress with the playoff committee if this happens. Because if all of a sudden Bama wins that game,
well,
or they stay
in,
close,
yeah.
Then all of a sudden it's Georgia, Bama, Michigan. Then all of a sudden you're fighting over the fourth spot. Is it Oklahoma State if they win the Big 12 title game? Is it Notre Dame sitting there with the one loss? Or is it Cincinnati? Like, that fifth place team would be so important if that scenario plays out. That's what I'm rooting for.
Ultimate chaos this week in college football conference title games. And it seems like, notice we didn't even mention really Cincinnati much. Like, are we all recognizing that they're going to find a way to screw over Cincinnati?
For sure.
And that's just what, this is what happens
but this
every
is,
year.
This would be a big win against a ranked team in the college football playoff committee in Houston, even though they're in the 20s. It'd be a big win for them, considering they've won the second longest winning streak in the country, 11 straight. Houston, this would be a quality win for Cincinnati. Obviously, at Notre Dame, their best quality win on the road, but this would give, in my opinion, another quality win.
We'll get to Nick's notable notes coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. We know that the Chargers lost to the Broncos, who the Chiefs, of course, the Broncos will face on Sunday. Start looking ahead for the Chargers. Like, they get the Bengals on Sunday, a Bengals team that looked very good, beat up on a Steelers team that's headed in the wrong direction, but still it was an impressive win for any NFL team to blow out a team like that. I don't care who you are. The Chargers don't win on Sunday, they don't make the playoffs. Start looking at it. Like, really, you're probably down to the wild card spots right now. It seems like Chargers and Bengals and Colts. Most likely, that's the three teams vying for the final wild card spot. We'll see, right? But that seems how things are trending. And if you look at the Chargers' schedule, this is a game which they're slight underdogs against the Bengals on Sunday, as a matter of fact. We just saw how they looked against the Denver Broncos. If the Chargers lose, you start just putting together their win total and you figure out how they get to it. They get the Bengals, then it's the Giants, Chiefs, Texans, Broncos, Raiders. Other than their game against, depending on how they look against the Bengals, like what they'll be maybe slight favorites against the Giants. They're going to be underdogs against Kansas City. They'll be favorites over the Texans. They just lost to the Broncos. Now they'll be at home, so maybe that's a pick 'em. And then they wrap up the season at the Raiders. Like the Chargers, if they lose against Cincinnati for that head-to-head tiebreaker also against the Bengals, then the Chargers will not make the playoffs. They'll be an 8 or 9 win football team like they typically have been, and they'll be without a spot in the wild card again. They win on Sunday, then they're very much still alive for a wild card spot, and for that matter, maybe even the division. But they lose to Cincinnati, Bink. The Chargers are not going to make the playoffs. I was listening to Daniel Popper, who covers the Chargers. He was on with The Drive yesterday, and he acknowledged the magnitude of Sunday's game.
Yeah, it completely is. And if I ask you, Alex, and I get it, the quarterback-coach combination Denver, but they've got a hell of a lot of talent with Patrick and Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant, Javonte Williams. And we know about that defense and Surtain, Defensive Player of the Week. But who has the better roster, honestly, next to the Chiefs in this division? I mean, Denver to me is a sleeping giant because they're held back because of their coach situation.
It's a massive problem.
But, you know, next year with the right quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers fitting back into Denver because they definitely wanted him last year too. But get a quality quarterback in Denver with the head coach. You look at the rest of that roster, that is a more talented roster than L.A.
Well, so it's a more talented Broncos roster than we've seen come to Kansas City in a little while during this 11-game losing streak the Broncos have. But I disagree. If you're asking what spot would you rather be in the Broncos situation or the Chargers, yeah, I'll still sign for the Chargers because I still think they have their quarterback for the next 10 or 15 years. The Broncos are going to...
Herbert's not playing like the Messiah he was early in the season, remember?
He's not, but the issue, Bink, with the Broncos, for me at least, is they're going to finish... maybe with eight to nine wins possibly this season. So they're going to pick, 16th, 17th? You know as well as anybody this quarterback draft class sucks compared to where it's been.
Denver's gearing up. They just gave Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick an extension. This team is ready for the long haul, ready for that quarterback.
Ready. Big problem. Who's the quarterback? Unless they get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, then they're screwed.
Because the draft doesn't have the guy.
Then they're screwed, though. That's the problem. That's why I'd still rather be the Chargers. I'm with you on the roster. We talked about this yesterday.
The roster's better than Denver.
But Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, we know are not the long-term answers. There, you're not winning multiple playoff games, maybe winning a division even with those guys. Probably not. So then you're stuck in a weird spot. You're not bad enough to have a top five or top 10 pick. Last year you had a chance. You could have drafted a couple quarterbacks. You chose to take a very good corner in Patrick Surtain II, who, as you mentioned, just won Defensive Player of the Week or whatever in the AFC. But they don't. It's a bad quarterback draft class. You're picking in a bad spot. They don't have a ton of draft capital on that. I think they're in a bad spot still in Denver because of the quarterback spot. And Vic Fangio, to say, they're just a quarterback or coach away, that's a big problem.
No, it's big, but they're still finding a way to win games. That offense is incredibly loaded.
Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Otherwise, they're in trouble.
And they're the third in the NFL in points against. I mean, this defense is still very good, despite shipping Von Miller off.
I just don't take the Broncos seriously because of the quarterback spot. That's why this week, you would think this week should feel even bigger than what it is. But it's not, because I don't think anybody in Kansas City deep down actually takes the Broncos all that seriously, despite what they just did to the Chargers, because you see that it's Teddy Bridgewater. And if Bridgewater's banged up, we've seen what Drew Lock is. In fact, his couple series he played on Sunday, he threw a bad pick. It was a nice play by Derwin James, but still a bad decision. So that's my struggle with the Denver Broncos taking a look at them. But I think for the Chargers, if they lose to Cincinnati, they will not be in the playoffs.
I'm with you 100%.
Nick, you got some notes for us.
Gotta write something down.
Nick's notable notes.
I sure do, Alex. Nick's notable notes brought to you today by school, the number one gay way to get an education. Lincoln Riley landed his first big-time recruit in USC, Malachi Nelson, Bink. What do you think about Malachi Nelson, number three player in the 2023 class? He's not the number one quarterback in 2023 because that distinction, of course, belongs to the one and only Arch Manning. But number three, not too bad. Was committed to Oklahoma. He's from Los Alamitos, California, SoCal.
22-minute drive from LA.
Oklahoma has had 7 decommitments since Lincoln Riley has left for USC, but this is the first one. This is the first guy who has officially followed him from Oklahoma to USC, and it's a big one.
Yeah, because you look at the top two teams that were in for Malachi, it was Oklahoma and USC. It's actually, you know he's going there because he had USC down and Oklahoma. He had Alabama's cool, and he's
that's where the conspiracy theories. That's the conspiracy theories.
100%, he's going there.
Yeah, do you think this had to do with Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma to USC?
Oklahoma's concentrated a lot of commitments in recruiting in the state of California. They've really been looking at it. I know Bob Stoops loved that state of California, too. So that is interesting how that thing played out. But, Lincoln Riley's got that notification. He's been known now as the quarterback whisperer now. The two Heisman Trophy winners doing what he did with Jalen Hurts. I mean, if you're a quarterback, you want to go play for him because he'll develop you. You don't care where you're playing. Again, you go for the school. Some guys do go for the school because they grew up in those states, right? Most, you go for the coach.
And by
you're
the
not
way,
supposed to, but that's what they
by
do.
By the way, he also, not just the Heisman winners, but he turned Jalen Hurts into a second-round draft
pick. That's what I'm saying, what he did with Jalen Hurts, considering he was 26-2 at Alabama. So, like, he had talent, but obviously the passing game and everything else with Lincoln Riley went way up. And Lincoln Riley, like, a lot of people are, like, wondering who the hell he was when Bob Stoops handed him the job that one June.
So we've crunched the numbers. We had the interns do some quick math here, and
we don't have
found
any interns.
That whether it's college,
five on our show.
Whether it's college or NFL, team success highly correlated to quarterback play, and that's never more evident than what we're seeing right now with the Tennessee Titans, who are perhaps getting the worst quarterback play of any team in the league from one Ryan Tannehill. I wonder if they're regretting giving him that massive contract because he wasn't cut by the fifth day of this year, obviously. That means he's fully guaranteed $29 million next season. They can't get out of that. And he's going to have a cap hit of just south of $39 million next season. He currently leads the NFL in interceptions with 13. He leads the league in sacks at 33. And not far behind the league lead of fumbles, he is sixth in that category with seven of them. Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Yikes.
I don't know how you're a Titans fan and not kind of looking at that and saying, uh-oh, we're not just screwed right now, but we might be in trouble next
year. Remember,
he
was putting up big numbers being compared to Mahomes and everything with Derrick Henry in the backfield.
And
when you lose
A.J.
Brown, when you lose Julio Jones, when you lose Derrick Henry, you all of a sudden become the focus. You got to, like, carry the team now. You're the quarterback. You got to lead them. But all the talent around you is now on the IR.
Yeah, he's been awful. I mean, to say
he's been
though,
great when he has Derrick Henry back there because they don't ask him to do much.
Yeah, like look, he's
against
been
the Chiefs, he was the difference, 8 of 9 on play action.
He's been awful here recently, Bink, but to act as though the loss of guys around him hasn't played a huge role in his lack of success the last 3 to 4 weeks, I think is would be incorrect. But you bring up the cap hit, Nick. Like it's not the only guys with more of a cap hit next year than Ryan Tannehill. Matt Ryan, that's another, oh my gosh, $48 million Atlanta Falcons have to deal with. Aaron Rodgers, which we know he's going to be gone most likely. We'll see. $46 million. Kirk Cousins has a $45 million cap hit next year. Deshaun Watson, wherever the hell he's going to be, if anywhere. 40.
That's the other one, too.
And then Russell Wilson.
For that one, too.
Russell Wilson, $37 million. Yeah, but Russ has a no-trade clause. Does Russ want to go to Denver?
No, but I'm saying Deshaun Watson.
Or Deshaun, sorry.
Because they were high on Deshaun Watson early on.
Excuse me, Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause. Would he want to go to Denver?
Evidently, that's kind of where he was earmarked. Miami and Denver early on in the season before he wasn't moved.
All right, guys. I have been waiting for this moment for weeks, ever since I found out that Jay Binkley was going to be guest hosting the show during championship week of the college football season.
How about that?
Mere days before many, many Heisman voters all around the country, of which
including
I am one of them.
That's coming on with Dick Ferguson.
That's right. One, me right here. People are going to be casting their ballots this week in championship week. So I thought, what a better way to end Nick's Notable Notes today with the final Jay Binkley Memorial Heisman watch list of the season. I don't know if this is how the list is going to end. It's a very fluid situation, but
you better have a certain guy from
believe,
Michigan.
Is this your vote coming out here?
No, this is not my vote.
He won't
that's weak. That's weak. Give us
a watch
be
list.
Be public with it, man.
Yeah, he won't
put
list.
Your name on it.
No, I
he
can't
won't
do that.
Give us his vote. It's ridiculous.
Legally, I must declare that this is just a watch list. This is not my power ranking. But I do believe the Heisman winner will come from this list.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Number 3, Bryce Young, quarterback at Alabama. Number 2, Jordan Davis, defensive tackle at Georgia. And number 1, Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end of Michigan. I do believe the Heisman winner will be amongst those three players. There's other names you can throw out there. Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Will Anderson. That's fine. They may get the invite.
Yeah, they're all going
to But the
to
winner
New York.
Is going to be one of those three players.
Yeah, because Kenneth Walker's now got himself out of that, especially that
I think Aiden Hutchinson has a great
Even though he's a second leading rusher. But Jordan Davis, man, because George is all about, it's not about Stetson Bennett, JT Daniels. Their leading receiver is a true freshman tight end, and Brock Bowers. It's about that defense and the 6.9 points against. That's why I put Jordan Davis higher than Hutchinson. Even with the 13 sacks, and again, the season for Michigan's been about him. But this season's been about George's defense.
It's going to be a rather forgettable Heisman. I think history will not remember it fondly. Maybe somewhat like 2009 when Mark Ingram barely won it over Toby Gerhart and Colt McCoy. But there's just not been a quarterback or an offensive skill player to really put up eye-popping stats like we're used to. So that's why I do believe it will be a defensive player who ends up winning the whole thing.
Now, Young still has the stats. I mean, they're still putting up crazy stats.
Text line brings up a great point. Where's the punter you've been telling us about for 3 months? And yet, no love. No love for him in your watch list. Huh?
San Diego State suffered a few late-season losses. And I think the punting just wasn't enough to sort of pull them up by their bootstraps and find ways to victory. Early in the season, they were winning games thanks to the punts. But it just it faltered a little bit late.
Did you have Matt Rice on your Heisman list?
Hey, Heisman. I mean, Heisman moments. It's not necessarily about the counting stats.
81-yard punt? You're not counting.
I mean, if it were about the counting stats, then we can just go ahead and hand it to Bryce Young. But we know it's not about the stats. It's about the moments. Nick's notable notes.
And he had a drive of 97 yards under a minute and a half to win a game or tie a game. Bryce Young.
Yeah, what happened the first 3.5 quarters?
It's about moments, Nick.
It sounds like Bink would not be voting the same way as you.
If Alabama pulls off the upset over Georgia, that's why he's on the list. He was number three.
I think a lot of votes are already going in this week. When did they come out last week?
They shouldn't be able to vote until after the championship.
I agree with
you. Ballots were sent out on Monday, I believe, Monday morning.
Yeah.
Anybody who cast their ballots before championship weekend should have their votes removed.
Agree.
Yeah.
You going to talk to Nick Ferguson about this?
We'll
chat.
The body of work's not complete yet. It seems silly for anybody to be able to vote. All right. Up next, we head out to Denver. We check in with former Denver Broncos safety Nick Ferguson. He's the host on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. We'll ask him just how real are these Denver Broncos and how real are their chances in KC on Sunday.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.